This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Hour number two, the Max Kellerman Show here on a Thursday. Michael Lee's in for Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. Also hit me on Twitter, at Michael Eaves. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. NBA senior writer Mark Spears from The Undefeated, he will join us coming up a little bit later to talk about the Lakers' quest for an upgrade at the point guard position and who the most likely targets will be. But right now we're talking about the huge news out of the NFL on Thursday with the memo sent to all teams saying that if games cannot be rescheduled due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the game will result in a forfeit for the team with the outbreak. So you put this into context, you look around the league and around the country, you have vaccination rates that are still below 85% on numerous teams. That's sort of the threshold that the team or the league was trying to get to. So because of that, the NFL is stepping up its campaign and putting more pressure on the players. Any forfeited games would impact playoff seeding just as a loss would. So that's significant to a team trying to make the playoffs. ESPN's Kevin Seifert also notes that in the event of a forfeit, neither team's players will receive their weekly salary. So now you get into people's pockets. The NFL is like, don't mess with our money. We won't mess with your money. Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter for us, on Twitter about an hour ago, she said, I've spoken to NFL players who feel the league changed its tune, going from it's your choice to get the COVID vaccine to now feeling forced, their word, not hers, to get it because of the restrictions for unvaccinated players. And they are exactly right. That is exactly what the NFL did. They're like, look, we gave you the choice to do it. You are choosing not to collectively to a point that we are not comfortable with this number of unvaccinated players. So we're going to give you every reason to do it. If you don't do it, it's going to cost you money. Is the NFL doing the right thing here? Not just for their team, for their league and the respective 32 teams. Are they doing the right thing in terms of what they are trying to say publicly about their league, their teams, their players? 888-729-977. Wait, I'm sorry. I always miss this number up. Say ESPN 729-3776. Let's hear more of you guys, how you feel about it. Let's go to YG. YG is in Lexington. Go Cats. YG, what's up, man?
What's going on? Thanks for the call. I just wanted to chime in and say that, you know, getting the virus shot for the COVID is like something that just not for the NFL, but for everybody they need to do. You know, I finally bit the bullet about a week ago and went ahead and got my COVID shot, and I was scared of things, but I don't think we need to be as scared of things as we should be, and I think we should get the COVID shot.
But YG, hold on. YG, let me interrupt you. So clearly you made a personal choice to go get it. Did your employer or someone else tell you that you have to go get it? Because that's what the NFL is basically telling the players without legally requiring them to do it.
No, actually, the Delta variant taught me to go get it. Okay. And I was kind of scared of that. So
all right, fair
it
enough.
Was more of a me thing.
Fair enough.
And then I also want to say that Chris Paul is the best choice for the Lakers because he's old enough, and I think he would mesh good with Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
Well, he's definitely old enough, 16 years in the league. YG, we appreciate it. And he has obviously a great relationship with LeBron. He has a good relationship with Anthony Davis as well, but he's not played with either player, right? So what it's going to be like for him to go into that environment and try to help that team win another championship. Mark Spears from The Undefeated will join us momentarily to talk about that. But more of your phone calls on what the NFL is doing right now. Let's go to Donovan. He's in Virginia. Donovan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, what the NFL is doing, I understand you got to protect yourself. You got to protect your money. But this is going to cause conflict because let's say the Bills, right? I'm a Raiders fan, but let's say the Bills. You know, Josh Allen, who's the receiver? Cole Beasley?
Yeah.
They obviously vocal about not taking it. And it's like, can you imagine if they're the reason why the Bills don't make the playoffs, why other players don't get paid? That's going to cause friction, man. So it's like players are going to be pressing into doing it. And as far as my Lakers, the best player is Damian Lillard because he's still young enough to run the offense, but he's a pure shooter, so LeBron can run the point, and Dame Lillard can just pull up, man. You seen Space Jam 2, there was all three in it, man.
All right, man, appreciate it. Of those three options, is he the best player to potentially play off the ball when LeBron is setting up the offense? That's another question I'm going to pose to Mark Spears coming up in a moment. But you are exactly right. The NFL is potentially creating this conflict, but again, they are doing it purposely. They understand the team dynamic. And as we said earlier, no player wants to be responsible for another player losing money. That's not how professional athletes think. They don't want you to lose money, whether you are on their team or another team. These dudes care about themselves in that regard as it relates to the union, that everyone gets their cut. So they are putting that notion to use in the league's favor to force these guys to get the vaccine. That's basically what they're doing. Without legally doing it, they're saying, yo, man, you need to get this. If you don't get it, you can lose money. Not just your money, but a bunch of dudes' money. Like more than 100 dudes could lose money because of you. That's what they're saying right now. Let's go to Pedro in New York City. Pedro, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hi, how are you? Listen, my opinion is this is an absolute disgrace, okay? I'm a Yankee fan, and the Yankees were vaccinated, and we're still dealing with this issue. So this vaccination and unvaccinated discussion is not working the way they designed it to, because the vaccinated are still coming down with COVID. They still have to social distance. They still have to apply all the regulations of the unvaccinated. So this doesn't make any sense to me at all. And what they're doing is they're just using this to force these players who are not comfortable with the vaccines to get vaccinated, which is completely wrong. There's no choice here. This is more like a mandatory situation.
All right, Pedro, I appreciate the call. I will say this, though. And again, I understand different people feel differently about vaccines in general, but especially the COVID vaccine. I understand that. Regardless of how I feel personally, I understand people feel certain ways. But I will disagree with you one thing, Pedro, that you said. There is a choice. You don't have to play. You don't have to. How many players opted out last year from the NFL because they were not comfortable playing under those conditions? So the players do have a choice, and that choice is to get the vaccine to improve their chances of not being responsible for an outbreak that could cost them and their other teammates and opponents money. They have that choice. Whether you think it's wrong for the NFL to put them in that position, I understand what you're saying. But that's clear what the NFL is doing. They are forcing these players to get the vaccine without legally forcing them to do so, right? You put pressure on someone as it relates to their money and their income, you're basically trying to make someone do something without legally forcing them to do it. That's what's happening. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mark Spears is going to join us here momentarily, talk about some NBA. But let's continue this conversation right now. Let's go to Travis in Washington. Travis, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
You absolutely spoke the truth on that. The players do have a choice. They absolutely do not have to play if they're not comfortable, and they can forfeit millions. But the owners have to protect their money as well. So if standout player gets COVID and has to break it down and everyone misses a game, they have to protect it. And by the way, the Lakers don't need two point guards. They need one point guard. They got James. They need Westbrook that can score and rebound on top of it. Chris Paul, New York, please.
There we go. All right, man, appreciate that. Again, so these players do have a choice. They do. They don't have to play. They can opt out, as so many players did last year, and just not make that money. But if they want to play, this is the risk involved if they do not get the vaccine. More on that conversation coming up a little bit later here on the Max Kellerman Show. Michael Leaves in for Max today, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and Sirius Channel 80. Joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline, NBA senior writer from The Undefeated, Mark Spears, who has an article up on The Undefeated right now. Will Chris Paul run it back with Phoenix? With the Suns losing in the finals, the focus turns to the point guard's future. Spears, what's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Oh, man, just actually at a golf course, one of your favorite places, although I'm just here for lunch.
I was going to say, why are you at a golf course?
Man, I'm trying, Mike. I'm trying.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I need some help from you and others to get it going right. I've taken a couple lessons, and I'm struggling, bro.
You know who else is a pretty good chance at a golf course right now, Mark? And that's Chris Paul. He loves playing golf. He plays a lot in the offseason. Just a matter of where he's playing that golf right now, or better question, where would he be playing it next year if he plays in season? He says he's not looking at retirement. They obviously had a great run to Phoenix, but a lot of teams are interested in him. What do you think is the future for Chris Paul in the immediacy?
Man, $40 million is a lot.
Right? That's a lot.
It's a lot of money, man, especially if you can get an extension on top of that for 2 years. And, you know, I would have probably thought that such of an extension would have been, you know, extremely difficult for him to get prior to this season. But after what he's seen, the heights that he took this team, I'm pretty confident the Suns will give him something respectable that perhaps he could go into the sunset with. I was a little surprised that even mentioned the word retirement. None of the media had even broached that topic or was even thinking about that topic. He certainly doesn't look like somebody that should. So I was intrigued that he even said that. But, you know, that being said, if he decides, you know, and Chris has been able to maneuver a trade before, he's really good friends with James Jones. If he really wants to go, I'm sure James could probably work out a sign and trade to perhaps maybe get him to a place like the Lakers where he's close friends with LeBron James. But there's a lot of moving pieces to make that happen. And ultimately, man, $40 million in a place where you're wanted and you don't have to change a jersey for the fifth time in 5 years or whatever, I think that's going to be hard to turn away from.
Yeah, because I would wonder, Mark, based on what the Suns did this year with so much of that responsibility being Chris Paul's, how much pressure he would be feeling to stay in Phoenix, even if he knows they won't be the favorite to win the championship next year, which is the one thing that he desperately wants for his career.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is this, too. It's not far from L.A. But here's a question, Mike. Like, how bad do you win a title?
Want to win a title, right?
And it's not out of the realm of the possibilities for the Suns to be back, or it's certainly going to be a lot harder. But if you could get the same money in a sign and trade and play with LeBron, do you think your chances of getting a ring are much better? I mean, that's what he has to weigh. Is it worth it to make and force that kind of change? That's the big question. I'm sure the Phoenix younger players, Book and Ayton and Bridges, guys that have learned so much from him too, man, you know they're in his ear for him to stay, to try to run it back, to try to get back to, you know, Chris has never been one to be scared of a challenge. And, you know, I talk to him and he's always like, man, I just love to hoop. So if that's the case, I think he stays unless, man, LeBron does one of the great selling jobs and gets him to do otherwise.
All right, so let's flip it then to LeBron and the Lakers' viewpoint on Chris Paul and other potential players they could add to the point guard position. You mentioned Russell Westbrook. Damian Lillard is a guy that Laker fans would love to have. If you are the Lakers, what not just who would be the better fit, Mark, but which player are you most likely to be able to obtain based on the assets that you have available?
I do think it would be easier to do a Russell Westbrook move. You know, I've been told that the Wizards and the Lakers have, I wouldn't call them like close conversations. In the NBA world, there's a lot of conversations.
So right. Let's
not act like this is on the 1 yard line, but that Russ has been mentioned in regards to probably getting, you know, Schroeder in a sign and trade and also getting Kyle Kuzma, who I think all Lakers fans expect him to be out. Talen Horton Tucker would certainly be a painful loss too. But you got to give something to get something. And if, you know, if the Wizards are doing that move, my guess is that Beal is on his way out too, because I think the only way Russell Westbrook, from what I hear, I'm not speaking for him, but from what I've been told, the only way that Russ would want to move is if Bradley Beal wants to go as well.
Mm. Well, that, I mean, that speaks so much to Russ's personality, because he's a loyal dude, and he may value that more than a championship, actually, even though he could be moving back to Los Angeles potentially. NBA senior writer for the Undefeated, Mark Spears, joining us here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Michael Eaves in for Max today. All right, so let's talk about the Dame Lillard situation. You know, Dame is also a guy who's very loyal, not just to teammates, but also to the organization that brought him into the league, that the place where he was able to become an NBA star and make a lot of money. He doesn't seem like the dude that would try to force his way out of a situation. And, you know, he said some things in Vegas that all of a sudden the media were like, wait, is he open to leaving, though? Like, where do you think Dame stands? And not just necessarily joining the Lakers specifically, but just his overall future in Portland.
I think that at this point, he's basically put the GM on notice. That's what it sounded like to me. He's not asking for a trade today, but I think he's tired of standing in the same place, not moving forward, not being a contender. He knows the West is getting better. So perhaps there's a method to his madness in terms of challenging the Blazers, front office to get much better. And he mentioned, like, yeah, you know, we changed the coach and that's great. Maybe Chauncey can improve things, but the roster is just not good enough. It's just not good enough. So he said he was going to meet with Neil O'Shea and Chauncey Billups before he went to Japan. I'm sure he did. But to me, I mean, this, I think he's starting to lose patience and realize that he's in the prime of his years. And I have asked him, Mike, are you loyal to a fault?
Hmm. Yeah.
And I think in the cover story thing I did, if people want to watch it on YouTube from ESPN, he said, no, I'm not loyal to a fault, but I am loyal, you know. So now I think is a tipping point. The Blazers definitely need to improve their roster in some way, but how do they do that?
Right.
What do you do? I mean, that certainly sounds easier said than done.
He is the senior NBA writer for The Undefeated. He is Mark Spears. Go to The Undefeated right now and check out his article. Will Chris Paul run it back with Phoenix, or will he end up potentially with the Lakers? You can read that on The Undefeated right now. Mark Spears, my man. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Love you, man. Take care.
All right, no doubt. Mark Spears joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What do you think the Lakers should do? What do you think Chris Paul should do for his future at hopefully winning a championship before he retires? Because he wants it badly. Does what happened in Phoenix this year, getting to Game 6 of the NBA Finals, keep him in Phoenix long term because he's got DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker? Are they one other player away from maybe being the best team in the West? Or does he go join one of his best friends in LeBron James to a Lakers squad when healthy with LeBron and AD? Are widely considered to be the best team in the West. What should he do? Be sure to let us know. 888-729-3776. Coming up, though, I'm going to tell you if the Bucks winning the title was good or bad overall for the NBA. That's coming up next. Max Kellerman Show, Michael Eaves in for Max today on a Thursday. 5G is here. But the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, not anymore, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
It's the biggest season ever.
Julio Jones, who's now the Tennessee Titan. I think he gets a rebirth and a new offense in Tennessee. Man, Julio, top five receiver when healthy, no question about it.
The countdown to the NFL season continues. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael Leaves in for Max Day on a Thursday. Glad to have you with us once again and also being part of the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at Michael Eaves, as some of you have done already, talking about this NFL strongly worded memo to teams, players, on what the ramifications could possibly be if there's an outbreak of COVID-19 amongst teams with players who are unvaccinated. Get to more of your calls on that coming up a little bit later. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. We've talked a lot about the NFL today and the NBA with Mark Spears in our last segment about the Lakers and Chris Paul. But one thing we've not mentioned today is the Milwaukee Bucks. Granted, they won the championship a couple nights ago, but today they had that parade in Milwaukee, and the scene there for those fans and those players was, it was awesome. Whether you root for the Bucks or not, the fact that this organization had not won a championship in 50 years, and it's been a long time since that area won a championship of any sort, since the Packers won a Super Bowl several years ago, to see that scene there was just cool as a sports fan, okay? But going into the season, going into the playoffs, if you'd ask the average NBA fan what would be the best scenario for the league as a whole in terms of which team to win the championship, the Bucks would not have been at the top of that list. They may not have been the top five, quite honestly. But here's the deal. It was literally the best possible outcome for the NBA this season for the Bucks to win. And I'll tell you why. Because it did a couple things in terms of the narrative and what it takes to be successful in this league. You don't have to have a super team per se to win a championship. So that means other teams have a legit chance of winning if you only have maybe two superstars and maybe one super-duper star in Giannis. But he had Chris Middleton, and that's one of the best duos in the league, clearly. Do they have a big three? No, but their top two are pretty damn good. And you know what? Jrue Holiday is also good, and maybe you do give them consideration for a big three, even if it's not the best big three. It's a small market. Milwaukee is one of the smaller markets in the league, and they won a championship. That doesn't happen, right? Outside of San Antonio there for a while, you didn't have teams from that size market win a championship in how long? And thirdly, and maybe even the most important as it relates to the league itself, this is the first time that a true, maybe international superstar was the best team on a championship squad. With all due respect to Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs, I think Giannis and his story, being born in Africa, going to Europe as a child, having those respective continents with an attachment to him to come to the league and be the best player on the best team is huge for the league internationally. And he did it in record-setting fashion by dropping a 50 spot in an NBA Finals closeout game, only the second time that it ever happened. Giannis is a bona fide international superstar. International basketball fans know Giannis. They love his personality. He's engaging on social media. He has a great sense of humor. He's a great-looking guy. This was a win-win for the league as a whole. Now, if you're a Laker fan, if you're a Nets fan, you'd be like, yeah, but they weren't the best team. We were the best team, and if we didn't have injuries, we would be winning the championship. And that may be true, but that doesn't mean that's what the league needed necessarily as a whole and around the world. All this does for Adam Silver and his staff there in New York is another opportunity to sell the NBA globally. But also domestically, it gives other fans of other teams the belief that they can do it too, and they don't need three superstars or a huge market to make it happen. It is the best possible outcome for the league. You say, yeah, Mike, but no one was really, you know, watching the game in terms of ratings compared to – it doesn't matter necessarily. People get too caught up on ratings all the time. Now, granted, I work in a ratings business, right, whether it's television or here on radio. I work in a ratings business. I get it. But I would tell you that those numbers don't always tell the true story. Okay? So you can get caught up on viewership all you want to, but what's the narrative that the league can sell internationally and domestically? It was the best possible outcome for the Bucks, and it's a great story. I'm not the only one who feels that way. Tim Legler has been covering this league for a long time. He played in the league for a long time. He agrees that this championship was a great story for the league.
Phenomenal for the league, first of all. I just think a guy following a different script, Greeny, than what we're seeing now. You know, when guys get drafted into the league now, they're already thinking about their second stop before they've even played one game for the team that drafted them. That's the way modern basketball looks. It really starts on the AAU circuit, the way guys try to pair up and play together on high school teams, AAU. They develop these relationships. It carries on to the NBA. They think about playing together one day. So to have a guy get drafted, and really, on draft night, this was a guy that wanted to lead the Milwaukee Bucks to a championship at one point. Look at some of the early stuff he put out on social media when he was 18, 19 years old and what he wanted to do. And he actually accomplished it in a small market city.
Again, it's a great story for the league as a whole and for fans around the country, around the world to get behind. It doesn't have to be a superstar city full of superstar players. You can get it done, Milwaukee. Just the way the Spurs used to get it done. You just have to have the right players at the right time, and that's exactly what Milwaukee has. And now you've got a bona fide international superstar in Giannis. It was the best possible outcome. And if you are a sports fan and you love true stories, it's a great story. As Tim said, Chris Middleton was a second-round draft pick. Giannis, not the first 5-10 picks. But those two guys together stayed in Milwaukee, and they won a championship for that organization for the first time in 50 years. 50 years. You got to love that. You got to love that. And then what do you get from the team standpoint? You get Giannis at Chick-fil-A ordering 50 nuggets yesterday. The best possible outcome for the league was the Bucks winning the championship this year. Next year, whole different story. Anything could play out. Could be the Nets, could be the Lakers, could be the Clippers, could be Chris Paul and the Suns if he stays. It could be anybody. But this year, the best possible outcome was the Bucks. So congratulations to that team, that city, and especially to Giannis and Chris Middleton, because those guys were the guys who made it happen. Coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, hear if Paul Feinbaum thinks the SEC should take Texas and Oklahoma, and I'll tell you what that could mean, not just for the SEC, but all of college football. That's coming up next. Michael Leaves in for Max Kellerman today. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Also, thanks for you listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 80. Michael Leaves in for Max today. Also be with you here tomorrow, 2 to 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio. You can join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. For those of you who are familiar with me, pretty good chance you know that I grew up in Kentucky and I'm a University of Kentucky graduate. So my football culture is Southern. And that includes, obviously, the SEC. And yesterday, the news that Oklahoma and Texas want to join the SEC, that just shook up all the feelings in the South. Because the two best teams in the Big 12 clearly are ready to get out of the Big 12. And if they go to the SEC, that is an entire game changer for the entire landscape of college football. But the question is, clearly it's good for the SEC, but is it good for college football as a whole? Because some people think, well, if that happens, the Big 12 would clearly fall apart, which is the most likely outcome. But does that mean that's necessarily bad for the entire sport? Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show on SEC Network, he explained why he thinks the SEC would take Texas and Oklahoma.
If they didn't take them, someone else would. And if you're the Southeastern Conference and you are the biggest and baddest guy on the street and two of the biggest brands, the most attractive entities in this platform are suddenly saying, we want in and we're going somewhere. And if you don't want us, we'll go west, we'll go north, or we'll go east. And you're the SEC and you have the biggest television package about to go into effect in a couple of years on ESPN. And you have everything else going your way. You have your own conference network. You say, okay, let's sit down, let's figure it out. And the biggest obstacles really are what we were talking about a second ago. Where did this story come from? A lot of people think it came from Texas A&M to try to stop it. But I don't think it can be stopped.
I don't think so either. I think it's going to happen. And what will be the ramifications once it does? Because the Big 12 will collapse without those two teams. With all due respect to Kansas, Baylor, and the other teams in that conference, minus Oklahoma and Texas, from a national landscape standpoint, you just don't have the cachet. You don't have the cachet without those teams. So if you are those other squads, especially Kansas, who also has a basketball aspect to this, Baylor, who has both, having won the national championship in basketball and also has a football team that is capable of contending, where do you go? Right? You don't want to be left out there with nothing. And once that happens, you go from Power 5 to Power 4. What happens to the NCAA as it relates to college football? The only division of college football that the NCAA doesn't essentially control is the top division. So if these four conferences end up taking all the best teams, and there's 16 teams in each one of these conferences, and the national championship will always be determined by those conferences, what happens to the NCAA? And if that is the beginning of the downfall, potentially, of the NCAA, especially on the heels of the name, image, and likeness legislation going into effect across the country, is that good? Because people have looked at the NCAA as a poor organization, poorly run, not very effective. Some people call it corrupt. If this is maybe the final catalyst for the destruction of the NCAA, the reorganization of the NCAA, what have you, is it better long-term? Regardless of how you feel about these individual teams, these individual conferences, are the ramifications much greater? I believe they are. I really believe they are. And that could be the whole thing that gets it started. You know what? As far as I'm concerned, fine. Never been a big proponent of the NCAA, especially how they deal stuff. So if this happens and the SEC gets paid and they start making it happen for other squads and other conferences, cool. Because you know what? Eventually, more of that money will go to the players in some capacity. I'm all for that. Before we get out of here, let's take a couple more phone calls, because people have been really hyped about the NFL's memo to players saying that if you are unvaccinated and you're responsible for an outbreak that causes the cancellation of a game that can't be remade, it's a forfeit. You, your teammates, and the opposing players could lose money. Let's go to Matt. Matt is in Texas. You're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Hey, the thing I think the NFL has to understand, I think they're treading on some pretty thin ice. I think a couple reasons. First of all, from the means of coercion. If you're trying to force these players to get these vaccinations, one of your previous callers had talked about the pressure, like if a team doesn't get paid because this player gets COVID, man, there's a lot of issues, I think, that come along with that. And then I think the second thing is just the fact that we've seen lawsuits with regards to businesses forcing employees into taking this vaccination.
And, Matt, I appreciate the phone call. Matt, I do, and you raised some really good points. You raise points that players will raise with the players' union and their respective teams. But here's the issue as it relates to personal choice. You don't have to play professional football. You don't. Even if that's your chosen profession, you have a choice as it relates to your individual health and how you feel about a vaccine. You don't have to get it. If this particular organization through which you are employed requires it or really puts a heavy emphasis on your need to get it, clearly they're within that right, because the NFL wouldn't do it because they don't want these lawsuits. You can opt out as players did last year. And that's the question. Based on everything on the table right now, how many players will opt out again going into the 2021 season? Or what will this do to the current vaccination numbers in the NFL? Because nobody wants to lose money, and the NFL has said, don't mess with our money, and we won't mess with yours. Much more on this story coming up on SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Thanks for hanging out with us today. To Dan Graziano and Mark Spears, I'm Michael Eaves. I'll be back with you again tomorrow here on the Max Kellerman Show, 2 to 4 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and also on Sirius XM, Channel 80. Have a good day. See you Friday.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.